Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater, which, as you all know, came from a lovely troll's comment as the name for me and Jessica. Today, we have a special guest, Kaylee Cressa, and she is joining us as someone else who likes to shred bad men on the internet, but also receives her fair share of hate comments. And let's just give them a little sampling of the things that we receive.
I have no idea why your videos are coming across my page, that you may be the biggest douchebag I've ever seen in my life, and I've traveled the world. Congratulations. he did congratulate me, though.
I love how he had to qualify that he was well-traveled. That's just...
Just so you know.
Just so you know. I've not lived in my little town.
Exactly. I have left my mother's basement.
More than once. Oh, God.
So I had one where a man told me that my attitude is why no one will give me their seed. That's why no man will give me their seed. Which, just in case anyone doesn't know, I have a child. So I've gotten the seed and it has been fertilized. On top of that, so I had made a video talking about how you have to like unlearn abuse. So, you know, this idea that if you had a boyfriend that always punched the steering wheel, you know, you would tend to freeze up, right? So you're all admitting that you're emotionally and intellectually inferior to us since you're so easily manipulated into rewiring your brains. Damn, I'm so happy I don't have such a victim mentality, bitch. And also, he spelled your wrong, so they always do, but I just
Why? The simplest of grammar. Like, if you're trying to make it look like we're idiots, maybe use the correct form of right. Verb. I don't know. Hey, yep. Just me. Oh, I love the bitch at the end. I got one because I dared to talk about Matt Rife. Guys, I called him trash, which I stand by because he was making fun of a woman's genitalia that he dated on a podcast. So I'm going to give that a go. That's a stand by my opinion. And he said, before calling someone trash, look at yourself in the mirror. Even if I look like trash, he's still trash. Trash does not negate trash.
But like A plus for originality. Like,
no, you are. Like, okay.
I know you are, but what am I?
And I love it's someone else. It's Matt Rife. It's a stranger you don't know.
For the boys, you gotta come in for defense.
Yes. For the locker room talk. I did something on Adam Sandler one time. Not him as a person, but one of his movies. Woo! Did the boys come out on that one? They were like, how dare you? It's like, oh
my God. Adam Sandler, the greatest actor of our generation. Have you seen Happy Gilmore?
Billy Madison? I was like, guys, sorry.
I didn't say Adam Sandler was a horrible person. I was talking about a fictitious character in a movie.
Right.
Which just happened to be played by Adam
Sandler. Well, and that's the thing, right? Because you make such a good point. They're not defending Adam Sandler as a person. They are defending Adam Sandler as Happy Gilmore. Or they're defending him as... The person they've seen in the movies, their attachment is to a character.
Did you see him win that golf tournament? He's great. Right.
He was a great hockey player. He was great.
He made it all the way through grade school. Yeah, I think I might have also mentioned the fact that, like, the casting in his movies, it's always, like, men who are older and are not probably, like, as aesthetically pleasing based with young models.
Right.
You're like, right. Okay. Very true. We need to take a time out.
But like, it's clearly appealing, even in a comedic fashion. It's still, once again, going toward the male gaze of, like, this is fulfilling fantasies for men. It's like, who is Adam Sandler's primary audience? It's young men, right? And then this is a way for them to jump into that fantasy.
He's featuring more realistic-looking actors,
yes,
right? I will always be on the side of anybody actually trying to represent what we actually see day to day, right? So I'm all for that. But like you just said, it's not like a realistic men, realistic women. No. It's realistic men with supermodels.
Rosario Dawson. Like, okay. Well, that's the thing too, is it's like My friend calls it the Kevin James effect, which is like these guys get this idea because they see these movies. And a lot of times it's like the girl does not like the guy. And then eventually he wins her over through usually like some form of manipulation. Like usually
right.
It's not like he wins her over and she's like, oh, this whole time I should have gone for you. Like even like Mall Cop. You're like.
You had the audacity to speak ill of Kevin James. Do you know how much I resemble that man?
0%. Like what?
I am a round man with a small Italian wife. Do you know how much I've connected with the King of Queens?
I am the King of Queens.
But it's funny because we were just talking about this. Like, I feel like this is another phenomenon. I'm trying to be careful here, but I'm like, you know what? I really don't care. Below average men. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. with above average women. Mm-hmm. But every time that scenario happens, every time we have one of those pairings, I feel like almost always the above average woman reports being treated like absolute shit.
Yep.
By the below mm-hmm. average man. And, you know, we could unpack this for the next 10 hours. So I don't want to go on like a rant, but there's something to be said for that, right? Mm-hmm. This idea of, hey, you make me feel bad about me mm-hmm. by just existing. And so I'm going to make you feel bad about you.
I know we talked about that on Reagan's podcast about the wedding vows or something similar about how the guy that did that really degrading wedding vows about what's the goal is. Like, it's clearly he knows that he's not this God's gift to the world, to women, to anybody who wants to believe. And so what he has to do is try to bring her down as much as possible so that the narrative of why she's even with him makes any sense.
And just because we were just talking about hate comments, I have to say, I got more hate on that video, on the video mm-hmm. of me kind of dissecting those vows mm-hmm. from men and women, a lot of hate. And all I kept mm-hmm. thinking to myself, because I really do sit there after and try to say, like, listen, why did people take this the way that they do? Am I off about my point? Like, you know, I really tried to dissect these things with myself. And the only thing I could come up with is how many women are constantly kind of explaining away the bad behavior from their spouse. Mm-hmm. And they love that man, but they don't like the way that that man might humiliate them in public. And so maybe it got a little personal for some of them. You know, and they could maybe see themselves reflected in her, mm-hmm. which I think speaks to a bigger issue, but it was pretty fascinating.
Yeah. And I think something that's interesting too, like jumping a little bit back to when you're talking about the below average by societal standards, right, guy. Mm-hmm. I think also those dudes probably have had bad experiences with women. They've probably had women they've pined after. They've probably been rejected a lot. And I feel like they get with the girl they think they deserved this whole time. And I feel like they take out every single time they felt less than because of a woman, mm-hmm. probably not by her own, you know, probably not her intention, but that's how they felt. I feel like they punish the girl that they get once they have power over her.
Absolutely. And I think you hit that directly on the head, because when you really break it down, you sit there and say, how many men who have been mistreated by women mm-hmm. go on this kind of mission to break someone's heart,
yes.
right? Just to make someone feel as bad as they were made to feel. And I actually have had these conversations with men, sometimes in public. Like if men recognize me and they come up to me, they're always, you know, sometimes they spit on me, sometimes they yell in my face. But the few, oh yeah. My in-person interactions are interesting, to say the least. But the few that have been willing to talk to me always want to quote the way that women have mistreated them. And somehow that's justification for their hatred towards women. And, you know, it kind of amazes me. We'll see men say, oh, well, don't take the behavior of one man, you know, not all men. But they have no problem making all women pay for the action of one. And
also, mm-hmm. every video is all women. Every single video we watch is all women are this way. All
every woman ever
single
sucks.
One. There's, it's so, the disconnect is so wild. Every single, the amount of times I've said in a video, women are not in a monolith, and the amount of men that get upset at the idea that women are individuals and they don't all think under one complete hive mind is so upsetting.
Do you know Naya Papaya? She's awesome. She's like, I think she's a doctor now, isn't she? Did she just get her doctorate?
Yeah, she just defended. Yeah.
Anyways, I love her. I think she's great. But she talked about the idea that like part of like sexism and objectification is men have this idea of fungibility with women because they see them as objects. They're like, oh, it can just slot in. It's the same for every person. Their inability to see them as people makes them speak that way because they're like, well, this will work on every woman because you can just swap them. It's all the same. Every woman's the same. But it's like based in that deep rooted, like sexism and objectification. It's like, it's literally instead of like you're a person with wants, needs, and desires, here's a pen. I could use a different pen and it'll still write and it'll still work. And how many of those, like that they don't see that, like you are doing the thing that you hate. You are literally doing it.
And I actually like when you put it that way, it's like it is kind of one of those moments where you're like, yeah, it makes perfect sense. You don't look at objects as having individual personalities and individual wants and needs and experiences. So it makes perfect sense.
Speaking of which, do you guys want to hear the video today that where a guy does exactly this?
Yes.
So this man is someone that all of us have seen before on the internet and we have responded to. And I think Kaylee and I have made multiple videos responding to previous videos that he has. But this one I think was extra special. And I want to go line by line with this. And I think the very first line is one we want to spend a little time on. And I'm going to read it to you. And it says, a woman is living her ideal life when she is completely dependent on a man.
Ooh, fact check.
I gotta go.
Isn't that the best?
It's like they don't even have to make sense, right? Like that's what kind of kills me is they don't even have to make sense. They just say whatever comes to mind. But the idea, to go back to your point, to Reagan's point, this idea that women are objects and therefore have no individuality, the idea that women as a whole are living their best life if they are dependent on a man. So what do you believe is like it for women? What do you believe is the goal? Because you have to believe that it's all the same,
right?
You have to believe that if being dependent on a man is it.
That's all we want.
That's all we want.
My favorite thing is the way they, and you're going to see this more in the wording he uses. He sets this up like he's being this benevolent, like I care about what women, this is what's best for women. When really it's like, this is how to trap women into an abusive relationship. This is how to make sure that they cannot leave no matter how badly you treat them. This is the guide. But instead, no, that's not what I'm doing. What I'm trying to do is what's best for what women want, because their best life is when they are solely dependent on a man for everything.
Yeah. And can I just, I have to just make a little, I just have to make an asterisk here. I think sometimes when we argue with these men, right away, they try to use the same, so you don't think it's fulfilling to be a wife and a mother? And so I just want to like get ahead of this, because this is the way I always hear them argue with us when we talk about this particular topic. This has nothing to do with being a wife. This has nothing to do with being a mother. At the heart of feminism, we believe that women can be whatever they want to be, whether that be child-free CEO or stay-at-home mother of 10. Okay, whichever that is, it's your choice to do. Being a wife and a mother and finding those two things to be completely fulfilling and feeling great at the end of every day is not by definition synonymous with being dependent on a man. And so I have to get ahead of it because I hear that argument every single time we go here.
Wait, let me read the next line. This, because that leads perfectly into the next line, is I'm going to say this as clearly as I can. all any woman wants in life is to be at home taking care of herself, her kids, and her environment. That's all any of all you women. That's the only thing you want.
It's like, who is your source? Who are you talking to? What are you talking about?
My mom.
Well, literally, literally, my mommy loved her life.
She says, mm-hmm. I'm the best thing that ever happened to her every day.
She suffered from clinical depression. I don't know how the two are related. Like, so is he talking to men in this video or is he talking to women?
I think he's looking in a mirror talking to himself in this video.
Not to a therapist, I'll tell you that.
I think he's making it appear like he's talking to women, but he's very clearly talking to men in how they should be under the guise of talking to women. Like, hey, guys, this is how mm-hmm. you can frame how to get this thing. Watch how good this works. And to be fair, not to be fair, that's a word. If you look at the comment section, though, a lot of people are like, yes, yes, this is what I want. Because it's a very manipulative tactic that makes it sound, if you're not really right. diving in and critical, if this is the only video of his you've ever seen, you might think, oh, wow, the wording he's using right. is making it sound. Because if you are someone that wants to do this thing and you're like, yes, this is what I want. Well, ignoring the fact that he said, no, this is the right. only thing you can want. If you're living your life as a woman correctly.
I think also he right. sets it up like, oh, you know, women want to stay home and take care of their kids. It's like, yeah, there are a lot of working mm-hmm. moms who like would kill to be able to support a family without like with a partner that helps them. Or, you know, maybe they're not working full time. Like, I think a lot of moms would like that, would like more time with their kids. Like, so there are situations in which, yeah, like they would like to maybe have a little more freedom or a little more quality time. But it's like, that's not what you're talking mm-hmm. about, though. You're not offering up this great life of ease. You're talking about like usually very gendered roles in a household. You're talking about you do the mm-hmm. cooking, you do the cleaning. I will do all of the work and I will punish you for that. Like, I will ask you to be in a traditional role, but I will expect you to be subservient to me. And I will expect you to make it up to me that you're not giving, even though that's the role that I put it in. That's what drives me freaking nuts with this trad wife is like, even if the woman like wants to do that type of role, the guy still acts put out and like he should be getting all of the praise for doing mm-hmm. the like setup that he has asked for. He still wants to be like, I worked this hard, so I'm kicking my feet up. I did this. It's like, wait, you said that was the role you wanted. Why do you then get to complain about the situation you have set up?
All she wants is my money.
Right.
All she wants.
You said that.
Well, she has mm-hmm. to work 40 hours a week as well.
Yes, and provide exactly. Right.
All she wants is my money.
Because how many households are one income yeah, anymore? Like zero. Like almost none. Right. It's a fantasy.
And not even, we can't even say by choice, mm-hmm. right? It's,
right.
It's not even an option for so many families. And so to sit here and you know, that's another thing, right? They're always infantilizing women.
Yes.
Right? We can't make our own decisions. Mm. This is what women want.
Oh, we're scared.
Yeah. It's just like, we're capable of saying what we want. And, you know, you always say it, women are not a monolith.
And also like the idea that if you are a woman who does desire to work, does desire to have success outside of the home, then clearly there's something wrong with you because the natural state of women, according yes. to this, to him, is not that. And so you are going against, which actually, hold on, that leads literally right into that. I forgot. Women are not meant to work. Literally not meant to. Their bodies don't handle stress the way a man's does, and their fertility and overall femininity are much more severely impacted by that stress.
Let me at him, Chesco. Let me at him. First of all, okay?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm going for it. The idea that women's right. bodies can't handle stress, okay? How many women mm-hmm. are pregnant, nursing, working 40 hours, still picking up someone's dirty underwear off the fucking floor, doing laundry, cooking dinner, and still has to look at a man and go, it's mm-hmm. Tuesday, can you take the trash out?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that women's bodies can't handle stress And once again, where are you getting this data? Where are you getting this information?
His own fantasy, like it's nowhere.
Absolutely. No, we're talking about men who go to work and then come home and are so disturbed that you won't let them watch SportsCenter without interrupting them and can't remember their mother's own birthday.
He has another video where he says something like, sometimes men just need to blow up because they're holding in all this. Like, sometimes a man just needs a good blow up. Women don't understand what that's like.
Healthy processing.
Sometimes we just need to punch a wall.
Sometimes we need to get violent.
You know, as one does when you bottle up all your emotion and stress.
We handle stress right. Start punching stuff, women.
So let me add in. So I actually looked up. So just on the science of this, because he claims this is the natural scientific biological state of women, there was a study done by Dr. Shelley Taylor from UCLA that literally looked at how our bodies react to stress. And they found that women are able to produce more oxytocin, making them able to be better at regulating stress that in day-to-day life. And they also said that women handle stress better because they are better at creating social networks of other people to talk to about them, so it doesn't get to the same
Bingo.
Level. So literally, even his base point of this natural biological need for men to be the workers because they're better at it does not hold up to literal science that looks at the actual chemical makeup of our bodies.
And let's acknowledge how many times I've seen a grown man have a tantrum at the office. Who can't handle stress?
And let's just for a second also consider, let's take a couple, both of them have the flu. Who's laying on the couch and who's wiping down the counter with Lysol?
Not me.
You know what I mean? Like...
The weirdness of men being like, oh, I stick it through, I'm strong. And then they get like a mild cold and they're like, ah, take me out. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done.
I need to lay down.
Tell my fantasy football team I can't play tonight.
So sorry.
That's how fantasy football works. But the thing that really kills me is that there's this constant parallel between men's physical strength or what they perceive to be their physical strength and how that somehow is synonymous with them being better at everything.
I think it's also really funny that like a lot of men think being like parenting is just naturally comes to women, because that is not there's nothing like there are probably some natural parts about being a parent, but like actual like, you know, I'm like, okay, your toddler has a fever of this much and they're puking. Like, what's the – there's so much that, like, you learn on the fly. You research. Like, I'm Googling. Like, what is this?
Because you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. That's the difference. There's – you know, men can say, hey, honey, here, the baby won't stop crying. Take them. When the baby won't stop crying, we don't have anybody to say, take them.
Yep.
I'll never forget, you know, having my son, breastfeeding was so important to me, and not being able to breastfeed. You know, and they were calling me bored in the milk cow. I had so much milk that it was out of control. So I had plenty of milk, but I couldn't get my son to latch. And these women would come in and they would just like grab my boob and be like, you know, do it like that. But it wasn't working. Yeah. And I remember just crying for hours, being like, I am such a failure of a mother, because we're shown, you know, breastfeeding as being the most natural bonding experience and this beautiful thing that happens with your baby. And I couldn't do it. I wasn't capable of doing it. And so, you know, that's a problem. Yeah. That's a problem when we're taught that motherhood comes so naturally for women and that men aren't supposed to know how to do it. It sets us up, you know, to not be the best parents we can be. It sets us up to not be the best partners we can be.
And then it even comes down to like something like changing a diaper. I don't know. She's just so much better at changing diapers than I am. As if they're somehow inherently, it's because she's changed 1,000 diapers compared to the 3 you did when you could not whine to her to do it. That blows my mind when, just so much, but it's the whole weaponized incompetence, but you see it so much more with parenting all the time. I just don't get why she just comes natural. No, she's just done it more. Right. I don't get why that artist is just so much naturally right. better at drawing that picture, because they spent decades studying and doing that task.
And I think like also like maybe women hearing him talk like that aren't seeing what he is setting them up for, right? Because he's like, oh, women just need to be at home and women just need to be dependent and women just need – it's like – this man is shoving you into this like this box of what a woman should be. There are so many expectations that he's going to have for you. Right. He is going to expect that you're doing the cooking. He's going to expect that you're going to raise the child. He is going to expect you to be completely dependent on him, which any guy who wants you to be dependent on him, like, or it is a necessity that you don't have your own money, your own independence, that if he leaves you, you are screwed. That is not a good sign. And they are setting it up as this gift. I'll let you be free, when it's actually quite like confining what they're going to do to you. And I think that's the dangerous element of the way that he's phrasing this.
Absolutely.
Then when something happens and they can't fulfill some aspect of this trad wife kind of lifestyle, then it's like, that's your job. Why aren't you doing your job?
Yep.
You said this is what you knew what you were getting. And then he's like, and then they could be like, well, I was upfront about this from the start. I was trying to be the benevolent caretaker for you as I work for $50,000 a year at, not actually providing this.
And
she's also, because like, that's what happens is that when both of them start working, then they're like, but I'm still the caretaker. I'm still the breadwinner. I'm still the primary one.
I make one more dollar.
And it's funny. I was actually just making a video about this before we started doing this, is because we value women's time so much differently, because we value men's time by physical labor or by dollars.
Yep.
Right? So we value men's time by money until women start working. And then all of a sudden we value it by physical labor. And then the second we say, okay, well, a woman's doing physical labor too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she's not working as hard.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, well, they're not having her do the most labor-intensive work. So it's always going to be our work not being valued in quite the same way.
The goalpost has to move. Or even if it's not physical labor, it'll be like, well, she got advantages. Right. Or she gets I remember it like in the agency, like I worked at a production house, there would be like, oh, just because she's a girl, she's getting favorable treatment or blah, blah. It's like, no, she has to work just as hard. The men are stealing her ideas. Like, I've seen men take women's ideas. Like, it's insane, but it's always this idea of like, I have to think I'm superior to you in some way. Not even I have to think it, but you have to think it. You have to think I'm bringing more to the table, and I will move the goalpost however far I have to keep you believing it. Because at the end of the day, they need, and I've talked about this so many times, men who will not do the things to better themselves, to be good partners, must have women believe they need them. They have to have women think you need men, because they will do nothing to be desirable. They don't want to be wanted. They want to be needed. So when they are met with, well, women are saying they don't need you, they want you, they double down and they say this stupid shit, which is like, oh no, you need us biologically. Like, you, the studies show you need us. Like, just be desirable. Right. Just be nice. And seriously.
I always say it. Men will tell you that you need them if they don't want to work to keep you. And that's just,
bingo.
It is what it is. And so we have to, you know, when people say, oh, okay, well, how do we deal with this stuff? We have to walk into our relationships saying, is this man encouraging me to have independence, right? And not only financial independence, independence of thought, you know, independence in hobbies. What do you like to do? Anybody that's saying, I want you to revolve your life around me.
Yes.
Does not want to see you happy as an individual.
One of the new tactics some of the guys in my comment sections have been using is when I bring up that, like, I married, when I was literally, when I started dating my wife, I was making $13,000 a year as a grad student. And then I would, for 5 years, mm-hmm. I made literally below minimum wage as an adjunct, and she was with me. And now their new thing is, well, she's not like other women. And I'm like, first off, thank you. She's not like other women. She's as if she is wonderful. Right. She is perfect. She is, I love her.
Yeah.
And how dare you make me now say, yes, she is. Like, no, it's like the only way to counter it.
I can't counter that
because I do think she is an absolutely amazing and perfect and only unique. That's why I love her. That's why I fell in love with her. Having said that, there, she's not special in that regard.
That is a really tough position. That's a really tough position.
Like, come on, guys. Come
How dare
on.
You say that my wife is wonderful and that she could see through and accept me for who I am, you jerks.
How dare you?
Oh my God.
I think it's also important to notice, not just does a man expect your life to revolve around him, but also realizing how little of a relationship is reciprocal, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to emotional processing. Are you his emotional processor? Does he come to you with all his issues? Do you have to break down his emotions for him? Do you have to translate for him? Do you have to be the one to help him work his things out? And does he do the same for you? Because so many women become men's emotional processors. They become their therapists. They become the only way they can break down what's happening in their life and what they are feeling. And it is so taxing, and it takes so much energy and so much time. And they can't even get this guy to listen to them talk about their day. So not just that, but noticing, like, is it both ways? Do you both help each other be better people and process your emotions?
And just to kind of add to that, I think you make such a good point about them having to translate those emotions. But then I think we have a whole other step of this with men that don't even go to their partner. They don't tell their wife, their girlfriend, what they're feeling at all. And yet the girlfriend, partner, wife, spouse is still making the excuse of that emotion, even if it hasn't been communicated to her. Yep. So how many times do we hear women say, oh yeah, well, he yelled at me, and yeah, he gets a little violent, but that's how his dad was, so he never saw any other way. And it's like, he didn't even apologize.
Right.
And you're making excuses for why he's not treating you well. So, you know, I think that's kind of twofold, but you're so right.
That's a good point. That is a good point. Because a lot of times it's like, they'll get the benefit of conversations they never had.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's so perfect.
Oh, it's just because he had a bad day at work and, you know, his boss has been really riding him. It's like, did he say that? Did he blink twice and tell you? Because it's like, the woman's like, oh, I will interpret your body language. I will interpret your breath, that sigh you gave me. I know it must have been work. Let me make you the right dinner that you love. Let me do all these things to facilitate. And he never even had to say, I'm upset about blank, or I'm sorry I took this out on you. So it's like it facilitates him to continue the same cycles because she gets so good at interpreting his body language and his actions.
And I say this as the son of a father who was a narcissistic abuser that was like the definition of this toxically machismo, especially in Latino culture, of this, of all the things that I had to grow up kind of being around and seeing. The at a certain point in your life, it becomes a choice to continue down that path. And I get, and that's not to discount trauma.
Yes.
That's not to discount the things that absolutely affected me, right? But you have a choice eventually to unpack it and to see a therapist and to work through that. And you can't just continue until you're an old man blaming your father for setting you up to believe this way. Cause you know, especially in today's modern age, we have so much exposure to alternatives, right? We are hearing other perspectives. Yeah. It's not just the small town you're living in or in your household. There's everyone. There's us online, right? There's a million other people that are in between too. It doesn't have to go to the extreme of listening to every single person that fully disagrees with you. They can get you there. And if you choose to just simply stay exactly the way that your father raised you or the way that he treated your mom, then at I don't know what age that starts being a choice, but it is, there is a point where you got to stop forgiving it and stop pushing the blame off of the person that's still continuing that narrative.
Right. Well, and I think that's such an incredible point, because at what point do you kind of try to excuse your behavior by being the victim of trauma that you are now inflicting onto people that you claim to love? And you know, like you said, I don't know what age that is. I'm sure that would be different for different people. But, you know, I think that's so important. And that's where you really see men that are willing to do the work be great partners, and men that, you know, they don't want to do the work.
And they'll come at me and they'll say, well, you're not special. There's nothing. I'm like, I'm not special. That's the whole point, though.
That's the point.
That's exactly, you're agreeing with what I'm saying. It's literally.
I think you're special.
Well, I appreciate that, but I don't think, like, I'm not.
He's already picked me. Don't do that.
No, stop it. I've already been picked. I've already been picked. But I don't think there's anything I've done or can do that literally all men are capable of doing, right? But somehow me saying that men are capable of being human and respect and loving their partner is offensive to men. When that's like the most positive thing I could say about even the worst guys out there, that they're capable of growing and changing.
Well, so, but the problem there is that your existence actually disproves their excuses.
The biological narrative.
Yeah. This idea of this is who I am. Society didn't give me the tools. Society didn't give me the resources. I have trauma that I'm not allowed to talk about. My wife's going to call me a pussy if I open up. Bah, 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 bah. Your existence actually disproves all of that, right?
Right.
Here you are. You're a great dad. You're a great husband. You sit here. You have meaningful conversations with women because you've done the work to understand the experience. You'll be the first person to sit here and say, no, I have not lived it, but I have done the work to try and participate in conversations that help both men and women. And that's what they're claiming is impossible, right? Their idea is that men can never win.
You can hold space and empathize with how someone got to where they are and still hold them accountable for the way they take that out on somebody else. Like, I look at myself, for example, like I'm bipolar. Okay. So I didn't choose to be bipolar, and my brain does what it wants. Right. But I take medicine and I go to therapy and I work very hard to maintain my mental health, because I don't think I have a right to punish the people I love because I'm not taking care of myself. There is a point where that is on me. I don't have the right to do that to my family members. I don't have the right to do that to my daughter. Like, that is why I check myself. That is why I am constantly trying to do better. And of course, we hit points where, you know, we all have bad days and we all have those moments that we're not our best and we're not acting the way that we would like to. But it's the idea of, I think they feel like they have the right to weaponize it. They have the right to harm others because of what has happened to them. And that's the entitlement from misogyny. Yeah. It's like, I've had this harm to me, so I can harm you because my harm is more important than the harm I am causing. Mm-hmm. What has happened to me is more important than what's happening to you.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference.
I think that was so well said, you know, because you're weighing out. They're weighing their own trauma as being more important.
But you guys wouldn't understand how hard it is to be a man.
Yeah. Never. Never. I've never known the masculine plight.
Yeah, we don't know any trauma.
No. You have it so easy with your long hair and your makeup. Ugh.
I actually have heard men complain about that. That's kind of funny. Like, I can't wear makeup, Mike.
Yes, you can. Okay. You can.
Well, you could.
I think I have a little nail polish on still, right?